Y'all stay, go, stay. Don't matter. Hallelujah. So Aubrey, she's graduating from kindergarten, so to speak. She's going into adulthood. She don't want to change. She loves her class. But how many know you got to change? It's time for her to advance. It's time for her to, you know, lead the small class, and she don't really want to, and all of that. And Teresa and them's encouraging her. But how many knows that's some of us sometimes when God's trying to take us from first grade to second grade, trying to take us from one level of faith to another when it's challenging. It's challenging at times, you know, and praise the Lord. And sometimes we have to adjust. And the biggest thing is not complain. Don't complain. I don't care how bad it looks, feels, sounds. Don't confess it. Don't complain. I remember one time Travis, when I think he was 18 years old, and he had a motorcycle wreck over there. And they'd call me up, and the neighbor up there, it was one of his friends anyhow, they called me up. Well, anyhow, when they called us and told us, you know, I started out the door, you know, and Teresa, she said, don't speak a word against him, Monty, because we realize for years that our words contain life and death. We got it out of that Bible, and we believe it. Me and her believe it. I don't have to have everybody in the church to believe it. I want you to, for it to work for me. You don't have to have everybody in agreement with you for things to work for you. You get in agreement with God. You get it. You get the Word of God. You renew your mind to the Word of God, because the Bible says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. We have been redeemed. What does redeemed mean? It means that it's been canceled. We've been brought out of it. Curse is poverty and lack. No provision. Under the curse, you're going to worry, fret. You're going to strive all your life to survive. But walking with God and walking in the blessing, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I've been redeemed. Put that scripture up, Beth, Galatians. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? He tells you why. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that's me and you, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, and we received it. The Bible says every man has been given the measure of faith. We've received the blessing of Abraham that God pronounced, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be what? Cursed? Blessed. You know? And my sister, you know, she's back there and she starts to church here. I like to use her example, because when somebody gets over into faith, it's evident to you and everybody around them that God is moving. She drove her car today. She drove it. You know, when she first, before she started coming here, I'm going to brag on this church. Bless God, I've not been here 24 years out of the will of God. I know in whom I have served, commissioned my life to concerning this. And I believe this is a discipleship center. I believe the anointing is here. I believe it's not my fine preaching. I believe that I preach God's word, and God takes his word and puts it in individuals, and they become like Christ. So I don't pride myself, this is the only church, no, but we are one of them. Praise God. And she starts coming, and I believe if you invite somebody like Monty, and he comes in here, he come in lost. I didn't know it, didn't know nothing about the man. One day gives his heart to Jesus Christ, and then 15 years later up here telling you how that he had been around Christianity his whole life, but got born again, and things, the doors in the spirit realm began to open up for him, and understanding and change and he got his house, Harley's, motorcycles, jeeps, vans. His boy, she got her car off of a testimony out of this church. She heard, she just said that boy because she didn't know Damien. But Damien, them little bitty kids running around here when they first started, couldn't even pick up a box of food back there. They wanted to, they tried. And growing up, and they learned just through the preaching of the gospel. And when I say sow seeds, I mean if you will sow a seed and you will believe God, I mean you believe God. You're not putting your trust in people bringing it. You are putting your trust in Him alone. And that's what pleases God. That is faith. And the Bible says when you do that, you please God. Without having your confidence in Him, you don't please God. Hebrews, it says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. I believe the Bible. He said, if you believe that God exists, and you do, if you give your heart to Jesus, you know He is real, and you got to believe the last part, that He is a rewarder of those that will diligently seek the Lord. I am walking fully in the blessing of God. It ain't all manifest in my life, but I'm telling you, the blessing works. Things just fall in place for those that get their lives settled on. I've been redeemed from sickness and disease. I've been redeemed from the curse of sin and death. I've been redeemed from lack and poverty. I've been redeemed from fear. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You can't break a man or a woman like that. When they believe they've been redeemed, praise God. I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm liable to get in trouble for saying that. Who does He think He is? That's what the Bible says. I'm His favorite. But God don't have no favorites. Yeah, He does, me and you. We're all highly favored of the Lord. We are redeemed. I mean, we got to learn to trust Him. It's easy to trust Him when everything is working out. When you don't have no trouble, it's easy to trust Him and praise Him and say, oh, God, You're so good to it. But you know, it's when the trial, the fire comes. Life throws you and work and different things come. I mean, like this morning, I'm like, what everybody do? Go on vacation? I didn't know nothing about it. You know, nobody heard, you know. But you know what? It's like I told Johnny, I said, but we're not going to miss out. See, that's the way you got to think. Everybody around you can be broke. Nita should have said, I can't afford this. I can't afford that. I can't. She didn't know nothing else. I just can't afford it. I can't afford this. Want stuff. I can't afford it. Can't afford it. She gets over there in the Word a little while, and she went and bought her a steering wheel cover. Put it up and put it out there till it's done fell apart out on her porch, but her car's here. She told me the other day, said, I'm going to have to get a new one, but I'm going to get it the same color as the inside. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? That steering wheel cover was a seed of faith. That was saying my car that this fits on has got to come. Jesus supplies all of my needs. Of course, you know, in the natural, she couldn't afford it. Right? In the natural. It ain't because she got wealthy all of a sudden. She's been rich the whole time. We just begin to walk in. I put it on I felt led this morning. I thought about the prodigal son. I think it's Mark 15 over there. I thought about him last night. The story of the prodigal son, that's a parable that Jesus was talking about, you know, and I thought about that, and just put that up there, Beth, Travis. I think it's Mark 10, maybe. We've been redeemed, right? And Jesus looking to them, saying, "No, that's not it. Just take it off for a minute. I'm not through." But anyhow, I thought that was it. But in that parable, He talks about the lost son. We call it backslidden. prodigal son, wayward son, however you want to say it. In reading that whole thing, he's walking in his father's house with God. He's walking with Jesus to me. That's a parable. He has got everything. I'm talking about all his bills paid. All his horses he needs, whatever they had in that time. Fully furnished. Plenty over, more than enough. Because he went to his father and he said, Lord, give me my portion. In other words, I want my part now. He took his part and then he goes off and he starts partying. Whatever he does, the Bible said, riding, live, I don't know what all he done. And the Bible said he spent all he had, spent everything. All of the blessings gone now. All of it's gone. That's why I said, Johnny, I say it often here, I have to get tired of being blessed to go there. Right? I have to lay that word down. I have to start speaking, there's no need in serving God. It ain't one thing, it's another one, like you were talking about. Get in that complaining and killing your faith and killing the word of God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, he goes down there, goes and gets him a job. And then feeding pigs. And then the Bible says, if you read it, it says nobody would give him nothing. How many of y'all has ever got anything in church? A bunch. Harley? I don't know what all y'all got. A lot of stuff. In the Father's house, everything is supplied. Walking with God, sticking with the kingdom, being faithful. He gives these stuff to faithful men, faithful women, faithful to serve him, faithful, you know, to repent like Monty would change. I mean, he's a Christian, and according to his own words, he's causing chaos everywhere he goes. That's what he said, ain't it? I thought that's what I heard. With his attitude. Killing his testimony. But no, not even just that, how he felt must have felt. Trying to walk with God and have joy and play the guitar and come to church and hear the word. And probably that was hard. But once he just stepped out, God only said whatever he did, he started getting restored. We heard it, I heard it out of his own mouth, his own testimony. Things almost immediately started changing. That's what you said. Did y'all hear it? Well, that's exactly what happened to that prodigal. He remembered. He all of a sudden he thought, man, buddy, they got plenty to eat there at my father's house. Man, everything is good at my father's house. Hallelujah. And so he returns. See, some of you, and I put it on there, I said, some of you's way. Y'all are wayward. You call it whatever you want. I put it on there, backslid. The church calls it backslid. I put it on there, and I released my faith, and I told God, God, let these words right here go down there to that broken man, that broken woman, that broken teenager, Lord, that is wayward from you, God, because they are on the bottom, whether they will admit it or not, God. And let this word right here let the Holy Spirit take this word right here and let them come back to you. So we don't have to go there. He chose to go there. He chose to walk away from God. Listen, serving Jesus is the easiest thing you will ever do. Your mind can't comprehend what I just said, but that you got to get it in your spirit, man. These trials out here are separate from serving Jesus. Right? Your light bill is separate from serving Jesus. Right? Serving Jesus is the easiest. See, and once we're serving the Lord, believing what Jesus, I mean, to follow Jesus, you've got to come out of the curse. He led you out by his own life. And you've got to choose to come out of that curse and not let it operate in your family, not let it operate in your finances, not let it operate in this church. This church is not broke. Do you know that? We could buy you a house. Well, there's just a handful of people that should. That ought to be proof positive to you. It's not based on people. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and hath no sorrow. That's you. Proverbs 10:22, that's yours. I was thinking about Chloe right here while we was praising worship. And it's like the Spirit of God just welled up on the inside of me and said, she can't even imagine the goodness that I'm going to pour out in her life. You're going to have a really good marriage. I mean, it just came up in me, and I thought, thank you, Lord. She's been through a lot. How many knows a lot of us has been through a lot? And the Bible said, you know, the Bible says that our imagination, He can do exceedingly abundantly above, greater than we can think or ask. You're going to have a good, good life. Because you're going to follow Jesus. And He will never lead you off path. When the path gets unclear to you and you're seeking, following Him, He'll make sure that you see clearly. He'll make sure that your path gets brighter and brighter. That's all of us. You know, and you will not be ignorant of Satan's devices. You will not be confused about life in any way. And I'm prophesying to you. And we'll just wait and see if it happens. It's going to happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that prodigal son, he returns back, and here he goes in there, and God looked, you see, his father seen him from afar off and started having a party. What I'm saying here, that is a perfect picture to me and you. Following Jesus, all of our needs should be met to the full till it overflows. We should be supplied with everything we need. He's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. Hallelujah. The problem is the mind. If you don't renew your mind, you know, kind of like I drove one time. We drove to Florida, and my mom, she was superstitious. Black cat run. I used to do it before I got saved. I know it sounds stupid and little, but it was big to me at the time. I'm 28, 29 years old. I'd got born again, but God, and we get off down there, and she said, oh, you're going to have to turn around, Scotty. You're going to turn around. A black cat went across the road. We done run about 150 miles. I said, absolutely not. You got to see, the superstitious was turn around and go back to where you started to break the curse of the black cat going across the road. That is terrible. She would do it. I said, absolutely not. I told her, I said, I've been redeemed. You know, but she goes ahead, spit on the windshield, made an X, you know, she's going to cross it out anyways. I found out that I've been redeemed from the curse that is in this earth through Christ Jesus. I done found out that God didn't give me a spirit of fear of not having enough money, fear of not living a long life, fear of cancer killing, fear. I've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. God has not give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. See, I can preach this and you can read that, but you got to get up and take it home with you and do something with it. Not just be hearing it, but be doers. I made up my mind down there. They used to call me, they'd call me Fat Cat Scotty Boy. Oh, he got plenty of money and blah, blah, because of my confession. They didn't know, Johnny, that I didn't have nothing. I had the Bible promises. And I had the confession, and I had it in my heart, and I wasn't going to speak nothing but that. And I did get persecuted, and I felt bad. I felt terrible. I remember a time when I was confessing that word over my life, and I thought, like Monty did, I can't say that. It's not true. That's just carnality. You know, I remember those times and then I thought, I don't care. Jesus said, in this life, I'm going to be persecuted. If I'm going to prosper, if I'm going to live godly and prosper, I'm going to be persecuted. So they would call me Fat Cat Scotty, Fat Cat Boy, 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 Boy. They just didn't know, Doris, how broke me and Teresa was, but had faith in God based on that word that we had got a hold of and give us hope. It give us hope. And we would not turn it loose. And bless God, I can identify with Deuteronomy where it says, I believe it's 66, it says, you went through the fire, men rode over your head, you went through the fire, you went through the flood, but I brought you out to a wealthy place. Nita, it takes people 5 years to get a car paid for like you got. 5 years. $388 a month, or whatever it is. And you got it through faith in God. That stirwood cover wasn't it. That was an act of faith. But it proved your faith. You had to have something come out of that test. Faith comes by hearing. Hallelujah. Well, you know, and I would be persecuted and all that stuff, and I would go home and I would feel bad. I would. I mean, it would hurt my feelings. I had to learn and grow through the feelings and emotions, but one thing I had to do is not let pride get in. Your money makes you nothing. Your cars makes you nothing. Your house makes you nothing. But it causes you, when you believe God and you know it's God and he brings you out to where you've been believing, there won't be no room for pride. It'll be a heartfelt, thank you, Lord. I'm grateful to you, God. I know where I was. I know I couldn't do it on my own. I know where I came from. But you did it, God. It'll cause a gratitude from God, towards God, from his goodness. Hallelujah. I was just yesterday up there, and Johnny and them, they was up the thing. And I'm going to talk on this just a little bit because this is a major problem with the body of Christ, some of them. And Johnny, I asked him, I said, did you get your porch finished? Yeah, I got a porch finished, and I like it. And he was talking about some things, you know, or whatever. I said, did you get your pool table? We're going to put a pool table, I guess. And he said, yeah. But anyhow, I told him, I said, well, you know, I said, you do what is good for y'all. I could have sat there, Johnny, and said, nah, man, you need some arcade games. You need a ping pong table. You know, you ought to do this. If I was you, I would do this. I would do that. And if I was you, Monty, I wouldn't paint that red. I don't know if you paint anything red. I'm just making a point. Let me tell you something. There's something wrong with that heart. There's pride in that. There's arrogance in that. You know, so I told Johnny, I said, well, just get it like y'all like. Don't y'all like to do things the way you like? Wouldn't you hate it if I come over and moved your turnip green patch over on the other side because I don't like it over there? Wouldn't that be, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? You know, and I told the Lord yesterday, I told Johnny, I said, you know, I said, it's just like I've told Travis before, look, fix that out there like you want it. That is your home. That's where you're going. Now, I could have went out there and said, I wouldn't do this, and turn it, and I turn it. You're turning out the wrong way. Turn it this way. See, God has a problem with that, if we're like that. He don't want us like that. He wants us to be meek and lowly and gentle. And you know, and that is really what a busybody does. I don't think my neighbor ought to put his mailbox where he did, but really it's none of my business. Right? That's a true story. You know, that will stop the flow of faith and the anointing and the blessing in your life. Because it's like I told Johnny something about his porch, you know, here by back and none. I said, in 50 years, it won't matter. Right? Just enjoy it. My house is deteriorating, but I'm going to enjoy it while it deteriorates. Right? I mean, 50 years, things are not going to mean what they do to you now. Serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Give me that other one now. I'm bringing a point to you. Jesus looking at them saying, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Monty quoted that one, or had it up there. Peter began to say to him, Lord, we've left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house. Put him first. That's all he means here. There is no man that's left house, brother and sisters, father, mother, wife, or children, or land for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive how much? Jesus wrote this. He didn't say if you're on disability or not. He didn't say if you're on a 40-hour a week paycheck or not, right? He didn't say if you're on Social Security. He didn't say if you own your own business. He didn't say that. See, we put limits on God by doing that stuff. I just simply believe for 100-fold, and I'm not going to put my trust in garage doors to get it. I'm putting my trust in Jesus, like I've done for 33 years, because garage doors let me down, money let me down, banks let me down, people let me down. But I'm telling you right now, I took that word right there in the middle D when I was 3 months behind on everything. Praise God, I mean, and I'd done come up with plans to save us. I was going to divorce Teresa, put everything in her name, go to California, open up a garage door. I know it sounds stupid. That's what you do in the flesh. Stupid. That's a true story. I'm not blowing no smoke to you. All that we had, we owed on. And if we lost all we had, Nita, we're on the streets. Simply. Travis and them's on the streets. We're homeless. If I lose everything, you know. And everything's got me getting my character too, Monty. It gets your character too. I'd lost the church and everything. When I got it all done, I turned to this right here. And I said, God, I've left it all. I have distinguished in your Bible my real family. You distinguished in there. And I've not put my mother before you. I didn't put my sisters or my brothers. I didn't get my father because I wasn't born again. But if it had come to him, I would have had to choose God over him. You hear me? Somebody tells me some way you can just walk with the Lord that's not in line with Scripture, I tell them that's not my way. My way's the Bible. If God says, forsake not the assembling of myself, then I'm going to believe for the power not to do it. I'm going to believe God to give me power to drive in the snowstorms, in the hailstorms. I'm going to believe that I can do the will of God and the supernatural power will show up for me to do the will of God. You hear me? I've seen it. A lot of people don't see miracles because they get that reasoning in there like I was doing. I turned to the Lord and I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I turned to the weak and beggarly elements of this world to save me and Teresa. God, I just asked you to forgive me. I asked you to forgive me, God, and I turn my total trust to you right now. And I thank you, God, according to that scripture right there in the Bible, Lord, I won't lose nothing because I've put you first. I've tithed, I've been faithful to you, putting you first and all of that, Lord. And you know what, praise God, today I own everything that it looked like that I was going to lose. I own it. And I don't owe anybody anything, and I didn't lose anything but a garbage dumpster that they was charging me. That's a good thing to lose, a garbage dumpster. Right? That's all I lost. I lost fear. I lost unbelief. I mean, that stripped it off of me. See, that's where faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. That's where being an embracer of that. I take that, God, as your word, God, and I will not lose. Well, none of us ever got on the streets. And I'm telling you today, praise God, that Bible don't change. God don't change. Praise God. We're to be like God. God speaks, calls those things that be not. Most of the churches will tell you we're too fanatical here. That's stupid just to call things. Call yourself healed when you're not. That's what the Bible says to do. Right? The Bible says call those things that be not as though they were. The things that God said in His Word. Did you know that the Bible says that God is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure? Ain't that amazing? I mean, He puts it in you to be healed. He puts it in you to want to be healed. That's His will. And then He gives you a voice. Healing's in us. The Christ, the anointed one, is in us. Hallelujah. That's why I speak to my burning feet. Right? I speak to arthritis. I tell it all the time. You ain't coming. I was combing my hair. I'm 59 and a half years old. I was combing my hair this morning. I thought, man, you're still dark-headed, man. All the rest of my brothers and sisters, look at them. They turn white. They like it. They speak it all the time. I'm gray-headed. I don't ever speak I'm gray-headed. I look at it and I say, glory to God, hallelujah. If worry gets gray hair, I won't never have none. I don't worry about nothing. He tries to get me to worry about y'all sometime, but I don't. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to worry. He can't get me to worry about my wife no more. I locked her in when I give her to Jesus. 30 years ago, I gave her to Jesus. He told me he's able to keep what I give to him. Well, I gave her to him. What I mean by that, I trusted him that I would always have her as a wife. That's what I mean, give it. I gave him all of my cares when I took this scripture on right here. I was casting them, 1 Peter 5:7, my house and Travis's life and the kid's life and all of that. I was casting it over on the Lord. He said, cast your cares over on him. We're not made, we're supposed to walk in faith. We're not supposed to walk in fear and unbelief and all that. But we got, in order to get rid of all that, we got to have our mind stayed on the Word of God. I mean, I don't have to work hard at it anymore. You do it and 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 you do it. I make gardening look easy. Had somebody, oh, I got them all fired up. They're going to have a garden. Well, they go down there and they start them a garden. And then they go to work and then they come and man, it grows up and they just don't know how. And they telling somebody, I don't know how in the world he has a garden like that. And Travis, he tells them, well, he goes out there and he's out there before we go to work pecking around that garden, go hoe a row or two. Right? The hand of the diligent, what happens to them? That's right. I don't like weeds in my garden. I don't like weeds in my heart. So be diligent to guard your heart, you know, and take care of our heart is a garden. And God's word is seed, and He wants to bring a harvest of prosperity in your life, hallelujah, and in my life, hallelujah. You know, I just made a transition. Travis, he bought him another truck. He'd make excuses. He needs to pull a camper with it all he wants. I mean, I know why he won't. If you want a truck, just say it. You know, well, yeah. You know, he goes to the Lord, asks the Lord about it, he said, and I don't doubt it. Bible says I've trained him his whole life, Proverbs 3:5, ask God if he wants you to have a truck. Told him when he had mentioned that, when he had went to the Lord about it, and I said, well, acknowledge God. I said, just acknowledge God. Whatever God says, that's okay. See, what happens is we don't acknowledge God. And then we go make choices that we desire. And then we get in trouble. That's when we get in trouble. But if we acknowledge God, He'll say, well, anyhow, He did. And so I told him, I said, well, what you want for the truck? You know, they're not going to give you a lot to trade in. You know, and he told me what he wanted for it, you know. And I said, well, I'll give you that. And then he comes back and tells me, give me this right here, and he owed me some money. I like it when people owe me. They don't feel good around me. I'm going to pay you. I'll pay you. I'm not going to be like the rest of them. That's what he told me. I'm not going to be like the rest of them. Well, you know what? Praise God. Goes on, and I said, well, okay. So I was going to believe it in. Teresa, she said, just pay for it. I go on, pay for the truck, and he does his deal, and I'm driving my, and I'm going to get the tag. And I said, thank you, Lord. What I preach to that church happens. I'm walking in the blessing. I didn't have to go to the bank. I didn't have to wonder. I didn't have to even consider whether I can pay for it or not. But you take me back when you got born again here. My God, I couldn't say that. But I'd already been believing it and preaching it for 15 years before then. And not hoping it would happen, knowing good well, according to the Bible, and Abraham and all of them, as they walked with God, they got richer and richer and wealthier and stronger, more confident in God, until they were envied by the sinners. The church is envied in a big way by the sinners today. They need to look at us and say, their God is real. Black God, they get healed over there. They get their cars with steering wheel covers. They, some of them on there, I can't believe he's preaching that. I'm serious. How happy are you, Nita, today? Oh, she's healed. She's driving a nice car. She's got her challenges, though. She's still got... Now she told me, she said, my room's coming on back of my trailer, bless God. I don't know when it's going to get here. I don't hear her anymore saying, I can't afford it. Well, you might not can, but your daddy can. Your father can. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The gold and silver's his, says the Lord. Simply over into faith. That's how simple. Simply I entered into faith. So here, you are promised 100-fold in this life. You are. Jesus wrote this. He didn't write this just for Scotty. He wrote it. In Revelation, he says, those that has ears, let them hear. Jesus wrote in the gospel, he says, be careful what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. He says, for the measure that you put into action, you use will be measured to you. He didn't say the part that you hear will be measured. He said the part that you put into action after you hear it. He said that's what will multiply in your life. Hallelujah. What else I got, Travis? Give me something else. Yeah, y'all know that scripture. Every one of y'all in here quote that scripture. The first part of it, at least. Some people quote the first part and they have to go to the Bible to find the rest of it. That's terrible. But I know Christians, they meditate on that. The thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm like, what the rest of it say? I asked somebody one time, I said, what's the rest of that say? Well, I really can't remember. And I'm like, you got the wrong one meditated on. You're supposed to meditate on the other one. I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. They're so focused on the enemy comes to steal, kill, they're losing. I mean, I said, you don't know what the rest of it says, but you know what the first part says. And that's just what was quickened to me. And I'm like, yeah, it was quickened by the dark side. This ain't no point things out. He tells me all the time, you're washed up. Been telling me that for 30 years. D, I ain't went down the drain yet. Proves out he's a liar, right? If he's told you washed up and you're still here 10 years later, proves he's a liar. If he can make you believe it, though, if he can make you believe you ain't going to prosper, you'll go around, all you'll think is this is the way it is. And you know, God, if God's will, if God wants me to prosper, God will do it. No, that's not the way this works. We have a part to play. We have faith to activate the things that God has done for us. Satan wants you to believe God's in control of everything. He wants you to believe that if it's God's will for you to prosper, it'll just happen. He don't want you laying whole. and telling Satan, I see what you're trying to do. But God, I'm walking in. He come that I might have life and have it more abundantly to the full till it overflows. I'm going to have that, Satan. You might come to steal, but you can't steal nothing at my house. I dare him sometimes, Anita. I said, I just dare you to attack me. But God, just do it. Just do it. He was attacking me about church one time, and I told him, I said, if you don't shut up with them thoughts, I said, bless God, I'm going to start having services every night. Now, you got to be willing to back up what you say, because he feels that faith. He's a spirit, right? When you mean it, he knows it, because he's a spirit. And so I told him, I said, if you don't shut up and leave me alone with that, I'm going to start having church Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. He quit tempting me. He's like, oh my God, he'll do it. I'm leaving right now. Well, the Bible says resist him and he'll flee, right? You just tell him, if you don't leave me alone and leave me alone, I'm going to go get some people saved. Threaten him. Tell him, but God, if you don't leave me alone today, I don't feel good. You trying to mess with me. I'm fixing to go down on the street and I'm going to witness to somebody. I'm going to get them saved. I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to invite people to church all day long. Hey, you go to church anywhere? Hey, come on, go to church. If you don't go to church, you know what? That's a good way to get rid of him real quick. You see, when you do that, you're resisting him. So I want to encourage you, you know, just know that you've been redeemed from sickness and disease and all of that stuff and poverty and lack and courage. You're supposed to be courageous. The Bible says the righteous are bold. They're as bold as a lion. That's pretty bold. I seen her laying on the bed with that dude, you know, when I prayed for him and all. Good friends, And I'm thinking, man, what a champion. You know, she just worked with this guy. She just heard that Johnny and them just heard he's in the hospital going to have open heart surgery. And they go do what they do all day long and leave the birthday party and whatever they're doing out there, and then they go to Huntsville. Now they're praying and encouraging the dude. I thought, man, that's pretty courageous. That was pretty courageous. It's not a family member, you know. And you know what? Those seeds, that dude, I mean, no telling what it did inwardly to that dude. Why? We are ambassadors of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we thank you, Lord, that we've been redeemed.